American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Styles. The Styles Corporation.
Do you think he's related to Harry Styles?
Spelled differently.
He never go out of styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what plays in the background when he walks down the street.
No.
Can you imagine? All right. Here we go. Let's talk about Jason. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Consider with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
We're here to talk about the man who definitely does go out of style, despite the fact that his last name is Styles.
He does go out of style, doesn't he?
Maybe if they included the Y, he would have stayed in style a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was the I that really took him out of style. Can I tell you something funny about a YouTube comment that someone left on our video about Jason?
Yes, please.
It really made me laugh. It says, I'm not a native English speaker, and I have to say, I didn't see the relation between Digger and Scooper until I saw y'all do the hand gestures. Because we were doing, on the video, we were doing Scooper, and they didn't understand that Scooper and Digger were related via the action.
The act of scooping and digging.
Yeah, so that's... our YouTube videos are informative.
And oh, thank God. Oh, that makes me happy to hear.
Yeah, another comment was that we got back when we were doing season 4 on Patreon was that in French, because it was one of our French listeners, they said that digger is like the equivalent of bulldozer is the word that they use for that.
Okay.
In French. And I was like, that kind of makes a lot more sense.
It definitely does. We never get any explanation. We get an explanation for Lorelai's nickname.
Yeah.
But we definitely don't get an explanation for digger.
Yeah. And so when they said that it's bulldozer in French, I was like, that's kind of like it makes a lot more sense, but doesn't necessarily make sense for Jason. Do you think he's a bulldozer?
No. Like, yes and no. Like, he doesn't take no for an answer very lightly. And I feel like a bulldozer, if it was a person, would not take no for an answer very lightly. Like, it just kind of moves on through without permission. Maybe.
He's just got a little shovel. He's a little digger.
Yeah, but
an excavator.
But imagine being called excavator.
That's my nephew's favorite word right now is excavator.
Can he say it?
Yeah, he actually, the neighborhood behind them is under construction. So when they went on a walk the other day, he says, Haley, I saw a big white excavator. And he was like out of breath trying to tell me about it. But yeah, he loves an excavator. So maybe he would have liked bulldozer better than digger.
Wow.
That's really the level that we should be catering to.
It's true. It really is. We should be putting more emphasis and effort into those really nice big words. But
yeah.
Yeah, we never get digger. Digger. We
never get it.
We never really understand
why.
It.
We should have asked what people thought digger was referring to in our last episode, and then they could have called in for this.
Oh, man.
Get more to consider.
What a missed opportunity.
I know.
But we did have quite a few voicemails about this. I feel
really?
It's really challenging for us when we record Gilmore to Considers on the heels of releasing a Gilmore to Say episode, because the episode comes out on Tuesday, and we only have a handful of days to actually field voice messages, sift through them, and choose them for the episode. But sometimes, because people, you know, a lot of people do listen the day it comes out, or maybe the next day, but it really just depends on how many people listen to it in the moment, because if some people aren't caught
and
up.
Have a feeling
and want to call in, have an opinion. You know, we want to give people time to digest the episode and share their thoughts. But this was actually an episode where we got a lot of voicemails about Jason. So I'm really excited to play some of them for you today. I did go into the archives for one of them, which I'm very excited to share with you. But the first voice message came to us on Tuesday in the evening after we released this episode. And it's about why Lorelai chose to break up with Jason when the lawsuit came about.
Hey, so I'm calling about all the Jason of it all. And one of the big discussions about Jason that I've seen is whether it makes sense for Lorelai to break up with him over the lawsuit, given, you know, her feelings towards her parents. And I think it makes complete sense. Just to kind of put it glibly, I just think she's just not that into him. She likes him enough that she'll enjoy going out with him a couple times a week and availing herself of the well-accoutered harem that he has on site for her. But I don't think she really was so invested in the relationship that she was willing to really fight for it, which is, you know, why she didn't, they never told Emily, even though annoying Emily was part of the appeal. She liked the relationship enough that she didn't want it to end, but not enough that she was willing to put up with really any drama for the sake of that relationship. And Jason suing Richard is absolutely crossing the line of the amount of drama Lorelai is willing to put up with for that relationship. So that's why I think it makes complete sense that she decided to break up with him.
Interesting.
I'm inclined to agree. You know, we never really talked in our last episode about how Lorelai's affection for Jason evolved over the course of the season. We did talk about how we didn't feel like Jason necessarily showed up for Lorelai in ways that we wished we could have seen, like with Richard's mother's death and, you know, the Richard's mother kind of chastising her for her money problems. But we did talk about them kind of not really evolving past that, but we never talked about Lorelai's feelings for him. And I am inclined to agree with our listener that, like, I don't know, when you kind of zoom out, how much did she actually like him? Like, how much was she actually invested in the relationship? We talked about the relationship as a whole, but Lorelai's investment in it, like, she doesn't seem too broken up about it. We get the shot of her, you know, with the cats coming to her door, and she's like, they know that I've broken up with Jason. But we don't see her really grieve it. And that would make sense if it was someone like Rory, because we never really see Rory grieve the loss of her partners, a little here and there. But Lorelai, I feel we do. We do get the grieving. We see her cry in her bed over Max. The only time that we don't really see her grieve the loss of a relationship is when her engagement to Max ends. But like with Christopher, we see the grief. When she and Luke break up, we see the grief. We didn't really see any love lost here.
Yeah. When he showed up, she was kind of just like, oh my God, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, go. Bye. There was no real like instance. I mean, she was kind of like tender towards him. She brought him dinner.
I was going to say there was a tenderness there. There was care there. But I don't think there was care there beyond, like, we've known each other for a long time, and, like, you know, you are someone who I shared a personal relationship with. I don't hate you. I'm still going to treat you like a person. You mattered to me. But, yeah.
When you were talking about after the engagement ended and then here, and I feel like the wallowing is maybe indicative of what the relationship meant, because in a couple of episodes, like a couple, I guess, not just a couple, further on in season 5, which we're about to get to, when things end with Luke because of Emily, that is like a huge deal. Like, she completely falls apart. Like, she's just like broken in her bed with her bowl of Cheetos that Rory sets her up with. And she ends up like making like a huge dramatic moment of like calling him and then going and stealing his tape. And he shows up at her house and he breaks in. And it's this whole beautiful moment. But we don't have that with Jason. And I think that that was the thing. I think we talked about it a little bit more on Patreon, where it's just like, why are these two together? I think it's just they're both there and they're both in it. And they're invested enough to get a key and receive a key.
100%. I think they wanted to see where it went. But until it was able to really be fully public, how can you really see where anything can go when, you know, you have to hide the relationship from your parents, who you do have issues with, but they are a decent part of your life regardless. Yeah. And Jason is a very big part of Richard's life until everything happens in Tick, 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 Boom. But interestingly, I think we've talked about this on pod. I know we've talked about it, but whether it's been on pod or Patreon, I'm not sure. With Lorelai and her breakups, I feel like we see her wallow when she feels like she, like, has unfinished business with someone. Like, we saw her wallow with Max after Paris is burning when they break up and she's crying in bed and Rory comes to see her when everything happens with Luke and she's, like, inconsolable in her bed in season 5. We see her really fall apart. And we also see her fall apart with Chris. Like, it's almost like the relationship never got a chance to go anywhere. And it's interesting because with Jason, you could also say the same for that relationship. But she doesn't grieve that loss. She doesn't grieve the loss of what could have been with Jason. And I do think that's indicative of the fact that her feelings weren't that strong, weren't as strong as they were for Max or for Christopher or for Luke. This was a person that wasn't necessarily convenient to date, but was exciting to her. And she was like, why? It was kind of like a why not relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
why not?
Why not?
Take a crazy. Yeah, thank you for doing the echo.
You're welcome. No, I like the idea that like it was too much drama because her and Jason really have separate lives. And it was almost like they ended and to fight for him, like beyond the lawsuit, felt like it was going to blend their lives a little bit too much. Because it's like there was nothing really to like undo, if you will. It didn't seem like he never really was much into her life. She never really ventured far into his beyond her parents. And that's that.
Yeah.
Ended. Kiss Luke. We're moving on.
We're moving on. But there were people that called in that definitely felt like Jason may have been a really good partner for her if they had stuck it out.
Hmm, interesting.
So let's hear from our bestie, Jessica.
Hey, girlies. It is Jessica again. I was calling in on my thoughts of Jason. While I do realize he is not perfect, I think he was the more compatible partner for Lorelai, especially when Luke was not. When Luke changed in the later seasons, I think Jason would not have held Lorelai back in business as Luke did because he was afraid of losing her. I think Lorelai could have been an extraordinary businesswoman. Not that she's not without him and with Luke, but just expanding the Dragonfly, selling it, I think Jason would have encouraged it because she seemed to really want that. And as she said in season 5, she hadn't really been an adult, single adult. And I think she would have been more like Richard if she stayed with Jason and embraced the expansion of the Dragonfly in the business because she was really good at that. And I think Jason would have helped cultivate that. So those are my thoughts. I think they were great together besides his faults, which, I mean, we know Lorelai has it, but thanks, girlies.
I'm curious on your thoughts on this, because admittedly, when I heard this message, and I actually would love to, I wish we could ask Jessica to expand on this, the idea that Luke held Lorelai back from expanding her business is very fascinating to me, because I don't remember that.
Is that in the revival?
I don't know. I think that wasn't there the opportunity that Richard presented her with to meet with that guy to expand the Dragonfly, who's the guy that sends her like the basket and stuff?
Oh, yeah. And oh, I forget that storyline.
Does Luke discourage that? Because I don't recall that. And if he did, then, you know, we're about to get into those seasons. Gosh, yeah, I remember his name. Like, his name is on the tip of my tongue.
You know, I can't remember. I can see them having the conversation at Richard's desk in his office, but I don't remember the circumstance of it. The only thing that I really remember about Luke is that he doesn't want to franchise.
He doesn't want to franchise his diner.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That aspect of it, I don't really remember. And I would want someone, one of you, potentially Jessica, to call in and give some more context to that. But this is a really interesting idea of who Lorelai is, who we see her becoming, and who we want her to become, I think.
Yeah.
Because there's the idea of her being more like Richard and being really successful in business. And while I do think that the encouragement of your business and your career from your significant other and from your partner is really important, the way that Jessica was kind of describing the relationship she was having with Jason felt more like a business mentor than a partner. Like, she was going to expand everything that she was doing, but I didn't hear much about what their relationship would be like beyond business, because it's like, do we want Lorelai to be more like Richard, or do we want Lorelai to be like, keep everything close to home, like keep the Dragonfly for herself, not sell it, only expand it as we see her do in the revival, and just keep everything close to her, keep everything familiar, be the person that she currently is, just maybe like more successful, growing her business, not necessarily becoming the person, not necessarily the person, but like the sort of career that Richard has.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I think that, you know, I kind of love that she keeps everything close to home, that she's like, no, this is my place. I opened it. And sure, of course, I have the opportunity to, you know, expand and franchise as Luke did, but they chose not to because they were like, it wasn't my goal to own a chain of restaurants. It wasn't my goal to own a chain of inns. I mean, maybe I think that Lorelai's goal was that she wanted to open her own inn. And I think that there is something to be said about someone achieving their goal and not thinking, okay, well, then what's the next step? I did this. This must be a stepping stone to the next thing. And it's like, no, for her, it wasn't. She was just perfectly content running the inn, fulfilling her dream, and checking that off of her list. And like, that's how she wanted to live her life with the diner owner who wanted to do the same thing. Yeah. I will say, to Jessica's point, I do think that Jason would have been a very encouraging partner. I think that in addition to their relationship, whatever that may be, they could have had a really good partnership in the like balance of encouragement. Sometimes when you are surrounded by someone who is very tenacious in the way that I think that Jason is, you, that kind of rubs off on you, right? Like you feel inspired by it when you see your partner, the people around you doing those things. I don't know that that necessarily means that it was right for Lorelai, but I am curious to know how, if at all, Luke held her back from doing those things, because I don't think Lorelai's ever let anybody hold her back from doing anything personally.
Interesting. What an interesting question. I feel like I would have to
I have to give that ruminate. A think. Yeah.
Go into my thinking spot for that one.
Thinking spot. What's your thinking spot?
Think. Just wherever my brain is, I guess. Outside on a log in the 100-acre wood.
Oh, I love it. But I'm glad that Jessica brought this up, because I think it provides not necessarily like a very passionate take of like, oh, Jason was the right person. And we had a lot of passionate takes of people being like, I hate Jason Styles. Jason was terrible. I don't understand why you guys see his good qualities. But we had one caller who we mentioned in the last episode call in because she has a very passionate take about Jason Styles. So we're going to hear from our bestie, Christy.
Christy, yes.
Hi, besties. It's KP. I just got done listening to the most recent Gilmore to Say about the mother-daughter relationship. And I really enjoyed listening to the anonymous bestie just absolutely go off on Emily. And so I really appreciated you guys saying, we would love to hear more passionate takes like that. Like, what are takes that y'all have that are just like absolutely not flexible? And my passionate take is that I think Jason Styles was Lorelai's ideal man, and I will go to the grave with that opinion. He absolutely matched Lorelai tit for tat. They had the same sense of humor. They grew up together, so they had a chemistry very similar to what her and Chris had. I know maybe actor-wise it wasn't as strong, but if we believe the canon of the story, she's known Digger since she was a kid. She'd had all these formative experiences with him. He grew up in the same world that she grew up in, but he also was just as weird as she is. And like, as much as we all love Lorelai, she's a bit of a weirdo and she's got her quirks. And that's like kind of what we love about her. And that's what I love about Jason, is he has all of these very odd and weird quirks, but they match Lorelai's energy perfectly. Like his whole thing about like, I can't share a bed with anybody. Lorelai doesn't even want Max living in her house, let alone staying in the same bed with her. Like, I think that this is Lorelai's opinion on men in general. She always has a problem when these men try to get involved in her life. And when these men are like trying to insert themselves into this life that she's built with Rory, and Digger's like, bet, I don't want to do that anyways. Like, go to this cool room, take a bath, watch TV, read some books. Like, I think that that's perfect. And I honestly think that Richard is the reason, well, Richard and Digger's dad, I can't remember what his name is right now, but you know, I think the two of them just being real sneaky about this business deal, that's really what sent all of this down the drain. Like, I do blame Richard for all of that. But I also think that, you know, I like how the story turned out, that, you know, we didn't get the Digger romance. We ended up with Luke. Like, I get it. That was the whole point of the show. But I really think that they gave us a taste of something really good. And I just really think that Digger and Lorelai are an ideal match. And I will go to my grave with that. Nobody can convince me otherwise. Okay, love you. Bye.
I just want to start out by saying I am Christy's number one fan.
I loved that. That's exactly what we needed, as passionate takes. Can I be honest? You know, I was in the last episode kind of iffy on I was calling it Jason's lady room or whatever I was calling it.
Yeah, tell me.
The way that she just described that is like, you go in your room, you take a bath, you read your book. I was like,
that's
I do
your
like
dream.
That bath, book, bed, Bev, that's
yeah.
nothing else that I would ever want.
Hey, I do have to say, I watched that episode with Brett recently, and what I noticed was he said he had Kiehl's products in the bathroom. Not, I know she took a lavender bubble bath, but it wasn't like lady products necessarily, because Brett uses Kiehl's religiously, but it
Kiehl's is both, yeah.
Yeah. But it was like gender neutral products, like, which was very interesting. They usually are, but I was like, I don't know that this was necessary. It's a guest room. It's probably mostly for women, but
yes,
I don't know that it was necessarily.
Jason doesn't seem like the type who's having people over, just like willy-nilly.
Like, hey, Richard, do you want to go take a bubble bath?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like his pals are stopping in. Maybe that's his true. Sister, who I assume he has a sister because he has a niece, I believe.
Yeah, but he does talk about his sister.
Yeah, but I absolutely love the call out that Jason is a weirdo, but so is Lorelai.
No, I think that Christy made so many valid points. The fact, like, us talking about the room and whether or not we would like it is something that we debated on Patreon and when we were talking about Jason. We never talked about whether or not that's something Lorelai would get down with, because she's so put off by it at first, right? Until she warms up to the idea. Yeah. But Christy's completely right that, like, when Max was even on the precipice of moving in, he just wanted a key to the house and she wouldn't give it to him, like, whether it was subconscious or not. And she had a really hard time inviting a man into the world that she built with Rory. And now at this point, Rory has now gone off to college, and so Lorelai is a little more isolated. She's a little more solitary. However, she's very hard pressed to meld her life with somebody else's because she's been so independent for so long. So I do feel like that might have been a really ideal partner quality for her, is that Jason is a very independent, I can't sleep next to anyone kind of guy. Now, what that would mean for their living situation, I don't know. Would they live in two separate places?
Yeah, or just have two separate beds. Like in a 50s comedy, they would have like a twin beds in the same
Maisel,
room.
In The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Yeah, exactly. What they did.
It's interesting that you bring that up, though, because Luke does, they do renovate the house for Luke. So, like, you know he's the right person because she is fixing up her space for him. But, yeah, she is a weirdo. Someone commented on a reel that we made saying, like, Jason, this, like, weirdo who, like, his dog only moves to the left, he has this other bedroom, is going to be with Lorelai, who, like, makes her vegetables talk and decorated a hammer. And I'm like, at first I was like, yeah, you're right. But then listening to Christy talk about this, I was like, yeah, they're both really weird.
They are. They're both very weird. It's just, it moreover boils down to what's underneath the weird, right? They were very compatible. Like, on paper, they're very compatible.
Yeah.
But all of the things, because, like, I'm not gonna argue with this. KP's a lawyer. She came with facts.
She would sue you.
She came with facts to back it up. So, like, I fully agree with everything that she's saying, and I understand why she feels so passionately about objectively Jason being a good partner for her. But there are two things that I want to bring up. One, I do think that below the weird, there were a lot of ways in which we didn't get an opportunity to see Jason show up for her emotionally.
Yeah.
100%. And I still stand by that. The other thing I stand by is actually something you brought up, which is that if Jason was played by an actor who objectively, not that like Chris Eigman was not attractive, but was more, you know, like Christopher. And we traditionally saw attractive.
People said this on our reel, too.
They did. I wonder if the audience would feel differently.
Like if Theo James.
Yes, you always bring this up. Theo James.
Because he's hot. Because he could play literally any love interest excellently. Like every single one of them. Like BK Borson actually, and I actually talked about this on our
I know because I saw his picture on his on her little little graphic you made.
Yeah, like he could literally be every character. Honestly, him, like what if adult Milo Ventimiglia played Jason?
Oh man.
I'm just saying.
No, you're totally right, and I hear you 100%.
But the thing about Chris Eigman is he played the Jason character that they wanted to mirror Lorelai so well. Like their humor and their banter align so plainly and cleanly because of what Chris brought to the character. And that's why in the last episode I was talking about like they are just the same. Like they are the exact same people. They could be talking into a mirror when they are bantering with each other. And
it's true.
I think that sometimes that works for you. Like, admittedly, I think that's what I would want. I think I would want someone who could mirror my humor back to me. And That seems ideal to me.
Yeah. And I, again, for many reasons, agree with what Christy said. The only other thing that I would say besides what I've already talked about is that I do think sometimes when someone is a little too similar to you, eventually, I don't know how that evens out, right? I do think you need a little bit of balance, whether or not Luke was that right balance for her. I mean, it was really up to her, and that's what she chose. But, you know, they are very different in a lot of ways, but are compatible. And in a lot of ways, Jason and Lorelai were compatible, but do we feel like they're compatible because they come from similar upbringings and all of the things that Christy listed, the banter, you know, like they're both weird. But I don't know if that necessarily always translates to compatibility.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I need someone to balance me out.
Yeah, definitely. Question, though, do you think that Luke holds up to Lorelai's humor well enough? Like in this, because like they're very different. The way that Jason and Lorelai joke versus Luke and Lorelai, it almost seems like Lorelai always gets to be the star of the show, that like she's always the one cracking jokes, and sometimes he like gives into it, sometimes he just like stops it, but like out of like not in like a rude way, kind of just like out of like, oh my god, this is her again. But with Jason, he like threw it back at her, and it's like, Which one does she prefer? Does she prefer to banter with someone or be the star of the banter show?
Well, I guess that's hard for me to say, because in a lot of Luke and Lorelai's friendship, yeah, she was the banter star because she's the banter star in almost every conversation that she has. But I feel like their banter when they were friends was still really strong on Luke's end. Like, I think back
to...
He's
not bantering with her.
No, he's completely bantering.
Yeah.
With her.
Very monotone.
Yeah. It's very different. So I guess as we move into their relationship now on Patreon, as we're about to embark on that, I guess I'll keep note of that and how he keeps up with her. Because their relationship obviously does change in these next couple seasons. And I'm really going solely based off of what I know very well and what we've watched so far together on Patreon, these early seasons of their friendship, which we've spoken to being very, very strong. And I'm curious how that shifts, because I don't really know how to answer that question. Because yes, Jason did.
Yeah.
He held up. Like, he rose to the occasion when it came to the banter. But I don't know. Again, I don't know that necessarily makes him like the right or best partner for her. But I respect everything Christy says.
Yeah. I respect, if anything, someone who feels so passionately about something like that, that they're just like not going to change their mind because it's what they believe.
Yeah.
But going back to the like, I guess the question, or like the only really thing that you were bringing towards this, is the emotional element of it. Is that like, if we're comparing Jason and Luke, like Jason can banter with her all day and Luke can be as grumpy as can be and like kind of like put up a wall to some of her antics, but he shows up for her so tenderly so often.
Yeah.
Like the ice skating rink, the Santa burger, driving her to the hospital. There's so many things. Like holding her while she's crying over her business and he's just saying it's going to be okay.
I know.
Or like when she's starting her business. This is not a Luke episode. I need to stop.
Yeah. But there's a lot of comparison because, of course, like she ends up choosing Luke, so to speak. She had the option of getting Jason back and she chose not to take it. She chose to lean into everything with Luke. And so it does feel like it's a Jason episode, but it does sometimes feel like, you know, we're always going to be measuring him up against the one that she ended up with when the question is, was he the one that got away?
Yeah.
You know,
I think he got away. I will say, after having listened to The Bolter by Taylor Swift from the anthology, Jason and Lorelai both refer to themselves as bolters. And I would say the only real tender moment that Jason has in terms of their relationship is giving her the key and saying that he's not going to bolt.
Mm.
But I think ultimately they were just two bolters who ended up together and just bolted away from each other.
I wouldn't say Lorelai is a self-proclaimed bolter. I think that Suki proclaimed her as a bolter.
Which is what's interesting about that song that I related to Lorelai, is that her friends call her the bolter. She doesn't refer to herself that way. So that's why I mentioned it immediately. I was like, oh, that's Lorelai. But I ultimately do think that they're two people who like tend to run away from things.
Yeah. But you know what? To Christy's point, it could have been the right person at the wrong time.
Or I think it was the right person for the right time for a short period of time.
Yeah, because even if it is the right person at the wrong time, it's still the wrong person.
Yeah.
In the long run.
Yeah. Mr. Right Now.
Mmm.
As they say.
As they say. It's true.
Yeah.
But thank you to all of our callers who called in. You know, these were the three voicemails. I went on a hunt for Christy's voicemail because she left this almost a year ago, May 17th, wow! 2023. But we had talked about her in the last episode and we're going
to
post.
We had to.
I think if we haven't already, we'll post her TikTok. But knowing how passionate she is, knowing how fiercely she supports this podcast, I was like, we have to have her voice on here. I love hearing her opinions. We love you, Christy.
And with our new tier on Patreon, Vicious Trollops, we're doing monthly Gilmore to Consider with Patreon-only voicemails. And there's actually a Jason voicemail that answers to something that we discussed in the second voicemail that I'll play on that episode. So if you want to continue the fun, we'll have that Gilmore to Consider on Patreon for our Vicious Trollops up later this month if you want to listen to that.
Yes, we will. And speaking of Patreon, as you all know, we just approached season 5 on Patreon. We just finished watching seasons 1 through 4, which we absolutely loved. And something that we kind of leaned into a little bit, but not entirely, was also, in addition to watching the full episodes, watching the additional bonus material and deleted scenes from those episodes. But we didn't get to watch all of them, and we thought it would be really fun for us to go through the deleted scenes from seasons 1 through 4 and see if they make or break the episode, if we really needed them, kind of like a smash or pass.
It really was smash or pass. And this is one that I think would be really good to watch on YouTube because we're going to play the deleted scene in the episode and then talk about it. You can still also, of course, listen on audio. We will share, but you will just not have this scene right before you to watch.
Yeah, we're really excited to go through these together.
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.